Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Not nice. Welcome back. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is with us, too, going about his business quietly in his attic. And our producer's name is Dawson Knox and a first, period. I like how you got the period in there, Joe.
The period was a must, I mean, of course.
All right. Joining us now is Evan Abrams on the Western Hotline from the Action Network. Evan, we have a lot of action. It is not April when we would call you and be like, can we bet on ping pong?
No, listen, this is Christmas in July, now about to be August.
Yes.
This is what this has become. This is beautiful. I'm watching. Listen, I went to bed last night to Clippers Lakers. I wake up to Nets Magic. It might be an NBA hangover, but this feels good.
It's weirdly the only thing right now. Even the golf is done because they are almost done. It's not on. They're showing this morning because of weather. Like, they changed the times. But,
I didn't even realize that. I got to get this out of here.
Yeah.
Get
so
out of here.
The golf is
up.
The golf isn't live, and baseball doesn't have a day game. We've got postponements, and then hockey is off, too, kind of weirdly before tomorrow. But, yes, the NBA is up and running again. And let's start there. Now we've got, you know, the finishing of the regular season, such as it is, or whatever it is. I don't know the terms on this one. And then the playoffs. What's your latest attitude, your latest analysis here about what the right bets are in basketball?
Yeah, so, I mean, right now, when you're looking at, you know, you've had two games last night, right? And both underdogs won, both unders hit last night. I mean, I think it's too early to tell. I mean, right now the Magic are throttling the Nets, and the Magic were 7.5-point favorites. So in terms of trends and really what you're seeing, I think it's a little bit too early on that. But here's the thing I do know. Bubbles have been working, and if you're not in a bubble, it hasn't. And baseball's had a lot of trouble. So I have confidence in what the NBA is doing, and I think they took the right precautions. And I think the season's going to roll on, and I think it's probably going to roll on without a hump. And when you talk about handicapping, I think what we're seeing is that, and we didn't see it last time, but I think the favorites are going to have a little bit trouble. I think the underdogs are going to offer value, and I think the long shots will offer value in the NHL too, which we'll talk about in a second.
Do you think that is because of the time off has sort of leveled the playing field? Like, these teams aren't in, the favorites aren't in the kind of form that maybe they normally would be in, and so things are like a little more even than they maybe normally would be?
Yeah, I think we're evening it out. I really just believe in terms of pace of play, and I think from both angles, I think you're going to see more value, and I think you're also going to see more tickets and more money put into the market in terms of betting, and those are going to go on the favorites, which might inflate spreads. So I would just be more willing to look at underdogs in these spots. Like, let's look at Zion last night. Zion is announced active, if I remember correctly, like a few hours before tip, and the line directly moved about a point, maybe a half point, up to 3, 3.5, and it ended up being the wrong move, but it's moving based on nothing. I mean, he was 70-80% most of the day. People knew what was happening. So I think you're going to see different opportunities like that happen frequently.
All right, Evan, you mentioned getting to hockey. Let's do that. We've got 24 playoff teams starting tomorrow. We have these, you know, the best of five, you know, playoff series. We have eight of those that start tomorrow. We've also got these round-robin games where it might be a little tricky to try to figure out what kind of competitive what level of competitiveness they have. So we'll see. Maybe those are, I don't know, those could be good or bad, I guess, for a better. What are you doing with hockey?
Overs and dogs. I think you're going to see variance. I think it really goes to say, now that's a short-term play. I think if you're looking for futures and you're trying to, you know, throw a little bit of money into the market on a long shot, I think you're going to have some success. I'm looking at some teams like Minnesota, okay? So, I mean, Minnesota finished fifth in NHL in goals per hour, second in shooting percentage. So they're good at what they do, and they're like 50-1. So I really believe in those certain scenarios. And I also like Dallas. Dallas is going to avoid that, you know, playoff series early that you just discussed. So I think that really, you know, gives them an advantage. And think about last year, right? Dallas plays St. Louis, and they bring him to the brink. So in my opinion, the NHL is going to see the same type of underdogs, and I think scoring too. I think offense will happen and defense will fall in this type of bubble scenario in two cities.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of hockey, you often get this kind of conversation, Evan, during a hockey season when teams have their bye weeks and they take, like, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 days off, or it's an all-star break or the Olympics or whatever. It's like they come back and it's sloppy and the coaches hate it, but fans love it because the systems are all sort of unraveled. And I'm bracing for some of that. And I guess bracing isn't the right word. That sounds like I'm dreading it, which in fact I'm not. It's the opposite. I love that kind of hockey. It's really fun to watch.
Well, I think that's what you're going to get. I think this hockey is going to be the most entertaining thing possible because I think it's going to be scoring. I think after a week, you know, 5, 6, 7 days, you're going to see scoring increase. That's the way I look at it. I think totals are going to have to pick up a little bit. I think that's the type of play we're going to see, especially in this different type of scenario. But again, I've been proven wrong right now because last night you did have unders in the NBA. So maybe they're getting inflated a tad, but we're going to have to see how that works with the NHL.
I like it. I like the Minnesota idea, too. That makes sense to me. Evan Abrams with us from the Action Network. I know that Joe, a.k.a. Dawson Knox in the first, was in touch with you earlier today about ideas for our conversation. And one thing I told Joe was something we talked about a couple days ago. I thought it was interesting that Bet Online distributed lines on A, would the NFL play a shortened season? And B, will there be a World Series? And I thought in both cases, I wanted to bet or would have bet the more positive side of both. I thought the numbers were right on that. Like that, no, there would not be a shortened NFL season. And yes, there will be a World Series. Now, I guess you told Joe you didn't see lines on that. So is that right? Is that right, and do you have any thoughts on what you would do if you were to find those lines?
I didn't see active lines up at the current moment, but the way that I look at it is I think baseball is in trouble, and I think it comes down to one thing. I think it comes down to travel. I think really in this scenario, when you're having to go from city to city to city, and when that type of situation happens, you're in a lot of trouble. And you're seeing it. You're seeing 4 or 5 teams not able to compete today for that reason. And listen, baseball is doing their best, but we see the bubbles work. And bubbles work for a reason because you're staying in one place. You're not having to go from city to city to city. And it's safer. So I think if you're looking for those wagers, I think the right move is that baseball, unless they get their act together, are going to start losing more teams. So how many is too many before they have to stop? And I just, you know, I'm a positive guy here. You know, I want all the sports to happen. I want to bet on them. It's better for my work and better for my market. But I think we're all sitting here really worried about baseball. And the way I look at football, the way I look at football is very simple. They would play on a carrier in the middle of the sea if they could. So I think football is a different animal. I think they will have the time, the benefit of time, and I think they will probably figure out something.
by figure out something, do you think that they still have the potential to create some kind of a bubble, or do you think there's a lot of people saying that this is untenable? You're talking about more than 100 people per team, and so even if you've got four locations and you know, eight teams in each one, like, can that really work? There's just too many people.
I think they need to limit travel, and I think though I just think they need to limit travel, and the one thing that might make them come up with a plan is what ends up happening with baseball. I think they're sitting in baseball is the easiest example for what the NFL could be, right? Like, what we're seeing right now kind of mimics what could happen in that other scenario. Now, there's one difference, and the only difference is you can be in a bubble-type environment for 5 or 6 days before having to go to that other city versus baseball, where you're consistently on planes and you're moving around a lot more. So that is also the benefit of football, is you're only playing once a week. So maybe logistically they can try to figure something out, but to me it's hairy. But I have more confidence in football than I do in baseball, and I'll take that all around.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I'm trying to hold the line on baseball, Evan. Like, Bulldog and I have talked about this every day. Now it's the Cardinals, and they were just some Minnesota maybe, and Milwaukee is who they were going to play tonight. It's just so interwoven. And then, so in one moment I'll worry, and then in the next I'll be like, well, there are rainouts in a regular baseball season, and if they just can make it for a couple days and put these games at the end. I see already today they are again putting the Yankees and Phillies together. Or it was the Yankees and Orioles when they couldn't play the Phillies, is what it just was. But now they're going to put, you know, rearrange the schedule a little bit. So, you know, that seems necessary to do. And I'm glad that things aren't so rigid that they can't do that.
But to me, that's also kind of my biggest fear, right? Is they're messing with the game and they feel like they're changing it as they go based on the circumstance, which to me is good and bad. I mean, when you start to hear, you know, we're going to move it to 2 days, we're going to move it a day, we're going to do 7-inning doubleheaders, we're going to adjust this, we're going to adjust that, it's you're giving up a lot to try to figure out something that maybe we just shouldn't be doing, or we should have done it differently to start. So I think when I saw that 7-inning thing, and, you know, everyone's making fun of it, but it's really not, it's not like a funny scenario. It to me is, it smells trouble. And you're kind of pushing things down the line a little bit, you know, it just doesn't seem, you know, you're going to play two games on Sunday. Well, how much different is from today, I think, is a really big question.
Yeah, absolutely, I think it is. I wonder if they have, you alluded to it earlier, like how many teams that get into this, it becomes a problem for baseball, you know? Either just from an appearances standpoint or just realistically, like, can you, you know, keep going? You know, Mike and I talked earlier this week about, you know, our kids all play sports, and we go to tournaments, and like, some team, either for disciplinary reasons or logistics, travel or whatever, like, oh, they had to drop out, they had too many kids, so they couldn't make it because of exams or whatever, and like, so teams get bounced out of tournaments, and they don't necessarily get replaced. Like, I wonder if, like, the Marlins, if it keeps going like this for them, could just be like, you know what, you're gonna sit out the season. We'll just play without you, and then, you know, maybe any other team that ends up in a similar type situation, they do the same thing. I just wonder how far you can go with that.
I was just going to say, to me, that seems like a very dangerous game of ping pong or a pinball or however you want to do it, because, you know, does every team play 60 games? What do you do about the betting markets in terms of that area and win totals? And you know how much of that moves the market, even though they don't want to admit it. So I think right now you're entering uncharted territory, is just really what you're doing. You're telling people all of a sudden, well, the Marlins are suspending their season until further notice. Well, I mean, what does that even mean? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you even come to a definition of that? Like, when do they play again on Sunday? You know, okay, we'll start a series on Monday. Well, what happened to those five games? So I think you're leading to lots of questions, and you're kind of fumbling answers. But we have to see how it goes, because right now it's changing by the day, right?
Yep, and they're still talking about playing two tomorrow, or two Sunday, but a game tomorrow in Milwaukee with the Cardinals, who, with a positive test of their own today, forced the postponement of their game with the Brewers tonight. Evan Abrams with us from the Action Network. So NFL, obviously you've said you're still confident that there is an NFL season. Do you have a couple of fun prop bets that lately you've been thinking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been on this all year. I mentioned this on your show, and I'm still on it, especially kind of based what's happened in that division. But I love the Jets under.
Jets, yep.
I've been talking about it before. And listen, the additions to Cam in New England and the fact that Buffalo is bringing back exactly what they had prior, and those battles are going to be tough. And I think Miami's better. I think the Jets could be the worst team in that division. So I am 110% still on that. And then, when I think you look around the league, the one thing I do like is I like Detroit in week one. I like them at -1.5 at home against the Bears. I think Bears are going to be more of a public team. And I think I like the way that line movement's going initially. So I'm probably going to look at Detroit in week one as a wager at the moment.
I want to ask you about New England with Newton, but now I'm hesitant because I'm thinking you might have been on earlier in July when I was on vacation. But, like, Newton, I know I haven't heard from you, Evan, since Newton signed right at the end of June with the Patriots. So, I mean, that has to be somewhat of a needle mover for them.
Well, it's kind of crazy, right? So think about the whole offseason. I was on radio months ago when they still had Brady talking about liking the under in New England because I thought Brady was leaving. And not really, you know, you can't control what happens after you make the first call, right? So I make the Brady call. He leaves. I end up taking the under. It ends up working out very well. And then all of a sudden they sign Cam Newton. And you say to yourself, well, do I still like the wager? I mean, right now they're sitting there at over-under of 8.5 with the over juiced at -143. So you'd have to pay $143 to win 100. To me, at 8.5, I would lean under if anything, but I can't really tell anyone to do that when I got it at around 9.5, 10.
Yeah.
it just doesn't make sense. But I think they're the most intriguing team for one reason. Bill's been beaten by Cam before in terms of seeing his skill. You know, you see video of runs, you see video of success in that area, and Cam has had success. But I believe he's also lost 7 or 8 consecutive starts, and he did not look good the last time we saw him. So I think they are a fascinating team, but they're still not as deep, and I don't think they're as talented as Buffalo. But they both are very comparable on the defensive side.
With Evan Abrams, yeah, Newton is 2-0, for what that's worth, against New England in his career, as you bring that up. By the way, I guess I probably asked you this about hockey when we started into the quarantine world there, but are all bets off if they don't play 16, those win total bets?
Yeah, I mean, basically all the win total bets are all predicated on playing the full amount.
Okay.
Playing the full games, especially win totals. You have certain situations, like let's talk about the NBA for a second, where I have Clippers futures that I took earlier in the year. Those are still active.
Right.
But certain other bets were taken off the board. So it's a little bit complicated, but it kind of depends on the wager.
Yep, and I have Vegas in hockey, as does our producer Dawson Knox in a first. So we're pulling for Vegas.
You know, Evan, I'm curious. We were talking to you through the spring when there was nothing maybe but NASCAR, and maybe even golf was just starting to percolate. And the attention that NASCAR was getting, both TV ratings-wise and just from a wagering standpoint, were maybe, like, if not record-breaking, but it was very notable. I wonder, with everything else starting to come back, you know, baseball, despite their problems, they are playing games. Basketball has fired up. Hockey is about to start for real tomorrow, and on you go. Has NASCAR kept that hold, or are people now going back to the things that are maybe more familiar and leaving NASCAR behind?
So I would have to reach out to books to get exact numbers, since it's only been a few days in that area. But let's just look at Action and look at what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling when you talk about the markets. And it's not the same. That type of sport, especially NASCAR, is very expert love and territorial based. So I think when you talk about wagering, the people who were maybe dabbling in it are probably not going to continue, but the diehards will always be a part of it. And to be honest, if you're a diehard in terms of wagering or DFS in that NASCAR area, you kind of like the fact that it's moved down the list, because like a WNBA or another sport that maybe gets less attention, when the bookmakers don't spend as much time, the lines become a little bit more juicy, and that's kind of what you're looking for in that area. But I would guess to say the overall numbers dip.
All right, Evan. Very good. Wide-ranging conversation, at least within the context of betting on sports, which is how we usually do it when we talk to you. Any questions for us today?
Well, yeah. Well, what are you guys betting on? What do you guys, you know, you can play some wagers. You've got all these sports coming back. What are you excited about?
I find it kind of interesting or weird that I haven't had the impulse yet to, like, go place these bets. I can only say that I think it's possible for me to go do it, but I'm not even sure if they're open. I think they're open.
Football? You guys waiting for football, right?
You know, maybe. I usually do at least one baseball totals bet, and I didn't even bother this year. And, like, the hockey playoffs are really cool for that, but I'm still not, like, feeling it. I don't know. Maybe it's that I have a little bit of nervousness about the place I'd be going to, but I don't really, like, actively think that. So what a terrible job I've done answering your good questions.
My answer is nothing.
I put my foot in that bucket.
I haven't had an idea I necessarily like as far as, like, putting any money on anything, but the hockey, I don't know, Evan, if you know this, if this hasn't come across in our conversations over the course of the year here, but, like, I am a hockey fanatic. Like, I watch a hockey game almost every night, October through whenever the playoffs end. And I thought, as the spring was unfolding, like, I don't need hockey in July and August. And, you know, a part of that was I usually spend my summers, you know, in Canada and away from TV, but the border's closed. I can't go anywhere. And just even these exhibition games this week, I was like, when does it start? Like, I'm saddled up and ready to go. And so I am definitely fired up about hockey being back. And I don't think in May I would have told you that. I think I would have told you in May hockey can get bent. I don't need you in July or August. But now that it's here, I'm pretty wired for it.
Yeah, listen, I'll tell you this. I love all sports equally, but there is almost nothing better than playoff hockey. Game sevens, big situations, up a goal, you know, pull the goalie, need the puck line. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I do have a bet under on the 49ers with Bulldog, so I have something. Just didn't think of it fast enough when you asked. Bad job here. Evan, have a great weekend. Thanks for your time, as always.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Evan Abrams of the Action Network, Evan H. Abrams on Twitter. Joe was telling me, I could have thought of this too, instead of stammering my way through whatever I said. Joe was telling me how there's a bet on who starts week one at quarterback for New England and for Miami. And the odds on Jarrett Stidham for New England and Tua Tagovailoa for Miami are the same. They're both plus 275. Is that right?
Yes, exactly right. Bet online.
And I told Joe earlier, I'd much rather have my money on Tua for that than Stidham, and I thought it was interesting that their line was the same. But that's also not one I'm going out to bet.
Yeah, that's got to be fear about Newton getting hurt, right? Like, that's what that would be, I think. Like, there's no way you'd be making that bet expecting Stidham to show up and outperform Newton in camp, I don't think. It's just, will he make it through camp and get to week one?
Yeah, getting hurt or already being damaged.
Right.
Yeah, okay, probably.
But if he shows up and he can't run, for instance.
What do they do about it?
What do they do? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I'm not expecting that, but I get it. I mean, I get why.
Me either, yeah. If I had to choose, like, if you said you cannot leave the casino until you bet on one of these two things, I would definitely pick the Stidham side of that for me.
And the other side of that would, I'm assuming, have some health concerns too, because that's the big storyline with Tua is is he fragile? And if he steps wrong in a practice, does that take him out of the running for week one?
So, they're saying he's healthy.
Right.
But they're also talking like no rookie should be able to get up to speed in time this year, and he's a quarterback besides. And Fitzpatrick was competent down the stretch. They won games. So it sort of all adds up one way.
All rookies except for Joe Burrow, which is the only other bet like that on Bet Online, and he's minus 5,000 to start week one. So he's the one rookie that should start.
Imagine betting $5,000 on that to win 100.
For Joe Burrow?
For Joe Burrow to start the opener. Like, how do you even sort of live with yourself doing that?
I don't know.
500, or what's worse? Or is it the same? $5,000 to win 100 on that, or $500 to win 10?
They're both atrocious.
I really need 10 bucks.
$500 to win 10. That's longer odds than the Tannehill bet. Like,
oh yeah. There's more than double. I really need 10 bucks. I need $10 so badly that I'm going to take $500 out of my pocket that I just don't know what to do with. I really need $10 right now, or wait, in 7 weeks, and I'm going to bet that. Who does that?
I might rather just go from store to store to store with $20 to pay for a pack of gum, hoping that the cashier screws up and gives me change, like more change than I have coming, like slips me an extra 10 or something by mistake, then put $500 down on Joe Burrow to play week one to win 10. I would rather do that.
What would be the equivalent of betting $20 on that? 4 cents? Would you win 4 cents or 40 cents?
40 cents.
Is it 40?
Yeah.
It's a little better than if it's four.
Great. I can mail a letter.
You can't even mail a letter with 40 cents. No, you can't. And that's if they stay open. 803-0550. Please stay open. Come on.
Yes.
Come on, everybody. All right, come on. Let's not be stupid here. All right, time out. We'll get a sports update for you next. What?
That is 2020 in a nutshell. Let's not be stupid here.
I mean, can there be some forces for good out there? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fleury's going to start today. I assume Leonard's going to play. The word out there was that Fleury probably starts, but it's not like it's a long leash. If they both play well, my guess is that Fleury starts. And I think there's a lot of cases around the league, whether it's a goalie not starting well or a player not starting well. Coaches don't have a lot of time for patience. Vegas has an advantage. They're one of those eight teams that isn't in a play-in. But I heard it was likely going to be Fleury, but not with a long leash. We'll see how it goes today.
That's Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet from yesterday, talking on the Instigators about the Vegas goalies. Noon tomorrow, first of five NHL, quote, playoff games. The league is now calling them playoffs. So congrats to all you really bad teams that made the playoffs this year. Good for you. Yeah. And one of you will maybe get the first overall pick besides.
Yeah, I don't mean to be screwing around with this, but I do think that they are still trying to be cute with some, like, the stats count as playoff stats, but maybe for some contractual stuff that does, I don't know, there's still some vagary, I think, out there about the status of these games and calling them what they are. Like, there's something that still isn't meeting some playoff threshold or something, I think.
There was something like that with the Canucks first-round pick, which they conditionally traded to the Devils.
Right.
But if the Canucks didn't make the playoffs this season, then the pick would transfer to 2021. But I don't think that's happening with that pick.
Okay.
So there's, like, stuff like that.
Thank you. That's some of the stuff I was thinking of. Yeah, like, so, in other words, if they were to lose this play-in, they would have been deemed not to make the playoffs, and therefore whatever was happening with that pick that was predicated on them making the playoffs would remain.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, I'm glad we clarified that.
Hopefully they get the number one pick. That'd be even
right.
Funnier.
Oh, if I were Devils fans, I'd be up in arms, if there are any.
Any Devils fans?
No, there's Devils fans. They don't deserve that. It's not for, like, the Panthers or the Hurricanes or something. The Coyotes.
Yeah. I saw a tweet about the Hurricanes. It's Eric Tulski, who works in their analytics department. And there was a video. I didn't watch the video. Did you watch the Hurricanes?
No.
Video on Twitter? Like, we miss you fans or something. Like, we know you're not here, but we still hear you, that kind of a thing. Like, basically,
I did not watch that, no.
All these teams are kind of doing, or many of them.
Yeah, I saw the Leafs one, and I liked the Leafs version of that. I don't know if it was necessarily predicated on fans or whatever, but I've not watched a lot of that stuff.
All right. I'm not, what do I want to say? Like, in terms of Carolina, I'm not here to disparage the size of their fan base. Like, I think that there is some there is some life there. Anyway, who cares? So Field Yates, ESPN, tweets that the Raiders are hosting former Bengals running back Jeremy Hill on a visit. And how about this language? Field Yates. I like Field Yates, fantasy guy. He writes, a reminder about this visit, and the Bills are hosting a player for a visit themselves today, Akeem King. Defensive back who's been with Seattle and I think Atlanta. Field Yates writes, a reminder, teams are only permitted to bring players in for a visit right now if there is a legitimate intention to possibly sign them. No words for that.
Yeah, I want Joe. Can you put the sound I just made on a loop? I can't replicate it. I can't do it again unless something equally preposterous is said. That I will give you that reaction. But that there's the words. It's not really words. That sound is what should be made when you read that or hear that.
More and more often, tweets like this remind me of, like, this is how I talk to my daughter. I know you don't want to eat that. You've got to eat something. So will you at least take this and plan on eating it? Teams would host players without having an intention of signing them? Like, teams would. I mean, it's so, what? Meaningless or vague or something. Like,
yeah.
You can only bring players in for a visit if there is legitimate intention to possibly sign them. Was
right.
There not at other times along the way? You know, what does this exclude? Reconnaissance visits?
Just bringing guys in that you don't need, but you want to have a book on them. You want to update their file. So you're doing workouts. So let's bring this guy in just to see where he's at. We don't need him right now, but we might need him in November. And we want to just have as an up-to-date file on him as possible. So we want to just get him to work out. I don't know. That's the best I can do. And somebody maybe driving in their car right now made the sound I made when you read the original Field Yates tweet to me. They made the sound at what I was just saying.
There is supposed to be some higher threshold. Oh, there was the sound. That wasn't you. There's supposed to be some new threshold here for how serious you are when you're bringing in a... And it's Jeremy Hill. He wasn't even in the league a year ago. I guess LeSean McCoy is taken now, so you go to... I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Jeremy Hill sight unseen. McCoy would have done well for his marketability this year had he not played anywhere last year. Or the last 2 years. Or three. I can't believe he was signed. I mean, he's been terrible for 3 years. Anyway, I mean, I never played. So, all right, here, we'll take a break, and then I'll tell you what my best idea was for a draft. Today. We're not drafting, you can tell. We often have drafted on Fridays, but here we are not drafting. Next week, every effort. And then we'll have a bunch of vacations after that on Fridays, I think, in the following weeks. And then we'll have football games. We'll have picks.
Hopefully.
It goes like this.
Right.
A draft next week, two or three vacations there in a row for one or the other of us, and then picks.
That's amazing.
That's our Friday. That's looking ahead at our Fridays here.
You just did the thing that normally happens when the fair starts. Which is like people go, well, summer fair, summer's over. Like you just did that. You're like, boom, it's fall. There it is.
Yep.
We're on the air. It's the Friday after Labor Day, and it's time to pick football games.
Next Friday, a draft. The following Friday, you're off. Then after that, I am. Then after that, I guess we're both here.
And then I'm off
and then
again.
You're off. And then September 11th.
Right.
Week one. All right. So I'll tell you what it is, and we can talk about it. Maybe even just sort of do a mini draft. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR. So you're wondering, perhaps, what was that?
I certainly am, yes.
Yesterday on the show, we played a clip of Bryson DeChambeau trying to get a rules official yesterday at the St. Jude Classic to grant him relief because there was a red ant behind his ball. Right, Joe? Like, near,
yep.
In the area.
A couple feet behind, yeah.
And that did not happen. He was not granted relief. Today, that is Brooks Koepka jokingly saying to his caddy something about an ant being nearby, you know, to make fun of DeChambeau.
Good.
Yeah, good. Right?
Don't run from it now when you get asked about it if that even happens. I know on TV you see, like, you know, some of the golfers, spoken to after their rounds. But if he gets asked about that, I hope he. Oh no, I didn't mean. You know what? I think he's an idiot. That would be great.
Yeah.
And then he made more news today by saying he wants to live to 140 years old.
DeChambeau,
right.
140.
In a GQ article. And it appeared to be 100% genuine and serious.
Yeah.
Because he also said, I think it's possible with today's technology, someone will do it in the next 30 to 40 years.
Someone that's, say, now 100 or 110.
Will live another 30 to 40, according to Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah.
Somewhere in the early hundreds.
Mm.
Well, maybe. You hear about it. You hear about, what do you hear about? You hear about like 118 every once in a while. Some number like that. How old?
You read stories.
Is the world's
like,
oldest living person right now?
I feel like you hear stories and reports about someone in
China.
Country that is saying that like they're claiming that they're, you know, 135,
yeah.
But they can't prove
it. I mean,
it.
I don't know. I need to see a birth certificate. It's like it used to be with the Dominican baseball players. I mean, I'm not sure I'm ready to take that at face value.
But if DeChambeau does it, I'll believe him.
This is kind of cool. So I'm asking my phone this question. I type in how old. The number one question it wants me to be asking is, how old is Donald Trump? Which, by the way, that answer is 74. Nope. How old is the... And then it says, the question it wants me to be asking is, how old is the Earth?
Mm.
4.543 billion years. Well, I can hear somebody out there going, how do they know? That's the person that was likening breathing into a mask to their car exhaust pipe, probably. I don't know, scientists, maybe? So how old is the world's oldest person?
I'm going to say 114.
Oh, that's a good guess.
The oldest person ever to have lived is 122 and a half. The oldest man ever, 116.
Well, that makes sense.
But that's not the same as the oldest living person right now.
No.
I mean, that's only another 8 years.
Man claimed.
What DeChambeau's saying here to set the record.
Man who claimed
once you're
to be
over 100, every year is like 8 years.
That sounds right.
What? Man who claimed to be world's oldest person dies at, quote, age 146, end quote.
Claims.
That's out of claims. That's out of Canada.
I mean, I'd be doing that too, right? You're 120. Just go tell people you're 150.
Who's going to know?
Who's going to know?
Guinness, March of this year, from the today.com. Guinness honors 112-year-old as world's oldest living man. Bob Whatton.
That was close.
Wait a minute. World's oldest man, Bob Whatton, dies. He's also on this list in May. Well, the search for this answer continues. All right, we will talk some more. I mean, man, in terms of like telling you what, like everybody sort of what we're going to talk about and then doing it and sort of doing the show properly, I feel like I'm having Jim Kelly's first half in that Monday night game against Cincinnati where I'm just getting picked off. Nothing about the drafts. I couldn't answer Evan Abrams' question. I'd even have to try to answer it. I need to get into the locker room and regroup. It is the halfway point.
It is halftime. That's right. Yep. All right.
803-0550 is our number. Will the season come off is still the question I think we're all asking each other. Baseball may be in trouble. We've been talking about that all week, and we have another team that's been affected. So more games postponed. Three games, in fact, postponed from today's schedule. We'll discuss that a little bit, and I'll get you this draft idea. I will make sure of it.
All right.
Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. Happy Friday. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.